Quarter to nine, Central African time. You are listening to Sabah Al Muslim on Radio Islam International. We unlock the secrets behind the Swazi Secrets Investigation. The International Consortium of Investigative Journalism have been at the forefront of this investigation. And joining us on the line, we have the Journalist in Africa Coordinator at the ICIJ, Mika Reddy. Mika, very good morning to you. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Thanks, Suleiman. Thanks for inviting me.
So, give our listeners the background and an overview of this Swazi secrets investigation.
So it's an unprecedented leak, really. It's the first, well, the largest of its kind from a financial intelligence unit in Africa. Now, a financial intelligence unit, the South African equivalent would be the FICFA, Financial Intelligence Center. In the case of Eswatini, it's an independent statutory body that monitors, monitors transactions within the country. And banks report to it. They report any suspicious transactions to this body. And this body analyzes these transactions. It works with local and international authorities in providing financial intelligence with the aim of combating primarily money laundering and terrorist financing activities.
So what were some of the discoveries?
This leak was, as I said, it's unprecedented for a financial intelligence center in Africa. So we're talking about nearly 900,000 documents. What ICIJ did for the Swazi Secrets, collaboration was to cobble together a team. We had nearly 40 journalists from 11 countries working on these leaks for months. The leaks, by the way, were obtained by a non-profit called Distributed Denial of Secrets, who shared them with the ICIJ. The ICIJ then put together this team. The findings, I mean, we're still very much in the middle of it, so there will be more articles coming out. The first few articles dealt with a bank of questionable providence that was opening up in the Kingdom of Eswatini. And some Canadian investors were behind this bank, and the Swazi authorities sort of pushed back because there were all sorts of suspicious financial transactions around this bank. The origins of the seed capital was in question, and there were all sorts of red flags. And what that story showed was this sort of clash between an absolute monarchy and institutions that are independent or at least nominally independent, such as the Financial Intelligence Center and the country's central bank. Now, there's a lot of pressure on countries to have institutions like FIUs, right? Pressure from international bodies. If you don't sort of at least appear to be getting your house in order in terms of having these institutions in place and relevant laws in place, then investors will be put off from investing in your country. There are international bodies that regulate this space, anti-money laundering space, like FATF. There are regional bodies, and they apply pressure. If you don't have these systems in place, then you get greylisted, and that's very bad news for investment. So the bank story was one story. There was a story about former President Edgar Lungu of Zambia, who was flagged by both Zambian authorities and Eswatini authorities because he was investing money. He was investing in the country, in Eswatini, allegedly through fronts in ways that were deemed highly suspicious, in ways that looked like money laundering to Swazi authorities. There was also a story linked to Al Jazeera's famous expose on the gold mafia in southern Africa, in which these sort of ghost refineries were established in a special economic zone in Eswatini and appeared to just be abusing the benefits of that zone and funneling money through the country in ways that were very suspicious and unaccountable. So these are the sorts of stories that have come out so far. There will be more. There will be a story on the ANC. That's it so far. Mm. But watch this space, because it will be going on for a few. Who knows, Brenda? This is a very large trove of data, lots of journalists looking at it, and new things may turn up. But there are several stories in the pipeline that we are working on and that partners are working on.
So at the moment, then, it's in revelation stage. We are far cry away from any of the alleged perpetrators being brought to book.
We are indeed. And remember, this is a sort of pan-African story. It's not just in Eswatini, although it very much centers on Eswatini. Eswatini is the kind of common denominator in all these stories. And as you would know, Eswatini is an absolute monarchy. And so accountability works differently there than in a normal democracy. So whether we will ever see accountability in Eswatini remains to be seen.
All right, Mika, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thanks very much.